You can be seated. We have one more oral matter on the calendar this morning, and that is Miller versus Anderson. This is a case in which there's been briefing by only one of the parties, and the case is accordingly going to be resolved without any input from the respondent. Is it Mr. McGeaney?
It is, Your Honor.
And you're representing the appellant, correct?
Correct.
You'll have 15 minutes for your argument to the court. Because there was no brief and the respondent is not present, they, of course, will have no argument, and correspondingly, there's going to be nothing for you to rebut. So you will have 15 minutes. When you approach the podium, give us your name, the party you represent, just so that we've got that for future reference, whenever you're ready.
Understood. Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Jim McGeaney, and I am here on behalf of appellant Jennifer Anderson, on behalf of the subject of the harassment restraining order, Parker Anderson. We're here this morning on an appeal from the grant of a harassment restraining order by the district court after a contested hearing whereby the district court did not require any testimony from the complainant and issued a harassment restraining order based solely on the hearsay statement that was contained in the petition that was filed in the district court over the respondent appellant's objection to hearsay. I think I pretty much covered everything in my brief. I don't have a lot to add. I wanted to answer questions, though, for the court.
My question for you is, I just want to be clear what relief you're requesting.
We're requesting the court to reverse the district court. There's not evidence in the record to support the court's finding that my client, and I'll refer to Parker as my client, the juvenile, that he committed an act of harassment. That's really the reason that we appealed this order. I was expecting some questions about the timing of our appeal, but it's not in the record, but I can explain to the court that it's in the transcript that the petitioner, one of the petitioners is a police officer. He's the father of the juvenile complainant. And my clients were afraid to appeal this decision because there was never a juvenile delinquency petition filed against Parker. And they were concerned that if they appealed the decision, that the county attorney would then file a delinquency petition alleging criminal sexual conduct against Parker. And so they were fearful. They didn't want the finding of harassment to be in the court record, but they were also afraid to appeal because they thought that would trigger the filing of a petition alleging juvenile delinquency. After some time passed, there was no petition ever filed, and they decided they did want to appeal this and have the district court reversed because my clients do not want there to be a district court record that he committed an act of harassment, specifically engaging in what was alleged to be criminal sexual conduct.
Well, and you're referencing a different aspect of the timing. I was curious because the HRO is just will end in April, isn't that right?
May, I believe.
Whatever. Okay, yeah. But it's in the record and sooner rather than
correct. Yeah.
Than we would normally expect. The other thing you put in your statement of case, which is that you were not served with notice of filing of the order, because I think under Minnesota rules that would have triggered an earlier appeal time.
Exactly, oh. And we waited for that. So one of the things that we considered, I represented the petitioners in the underlying action in the district court, and so I explained to them, because we talked about appeal. We were surprised that the court issued the order. Olson had just come out in March of that year, and I cited Olson to the court. In fact, I advise my clients to waive oral argument and not pay us to come up here. But I don't want to be cocky, but I was confident that this is going to be reversed. But I was also confident that no HRO was going to be granted. We were kind of befuddled when the court issued the order. So that's why I'm here this morning, because my clients are concerned. We didn't think there was really grounds to issue the order. Now, if they had called their son and he had testified specifically to what he was alleging was sexual assault, then maybe. But even in the affidavit, it's so vague. It just says that their son was complained that he'd been sexually harassed. There was no specifics about any conduct. So we waited to see if they weren't represented by counsel in the district court proceeding. But one of the petitioners was court savvy. He had been to court. He's a police officer. He testified. He knew the rules of procedure. And we thought that they would follow the rules of civil procedure and serve the order on us, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. And so that left the if they had served an order, we would have been here. We would have appealed as soon as we were served the order. We were waiting for the petitioner to serve an order on us, and the county attorney filing a juvenile delinquency petition. Neither one of those things happened, but my clients still want the relief of reversal because there is a finding in that order that he committed an act of harassment, and the affidavit, which is a public record. Alleges criminal sexual conduct. So if that answers the court's question.
It does.
I don't have anything further.
It appears we have no additional questions.
And I thought that might be the case again, and I'm glad I'm glad I came early.
Well,
I followed
that
the rule.
Actually, our calendar was a little weird today because we had another case scheduled for oral argument that settled.
And that happens occasionally, I guess. It's a first for me. I'm glad I came as instructed 30 minutes early.
I was here too.
Yesterday in front of a different panel. When we got the scheduling, I thought, I got to go up 2 days in a row. But I know I understand things get scheduled like that. So unless there's other questions, we stand on our brief. Mm-hmm. We think that clearly this is abuse of discretion by making the finding without proof, relying on that hearsay. I went through my hearsay argument in my brief. I won't take up your time again. I think it's...
Yeah, and just to assure you, I mean, it seems to me that you're relying heavily, as you said, on the Olson opinion, and that appears to be your primary point in argument.
I would argue that even if Olson hadn't been decided, that the court's analysis of that reliability of that statement under 807 is an error, because the court made this general analysis that these types of statements are reliable, and that's not the analysis that needs to be made in the trial court. You've all been trial court judges. You need to analyze the particular statement that's being offered, not any hearsay statement in general, and that's another reason that we think they should reverse. But plus Olson. I think Olson is definitely on point. So thank you, Your Honors. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Have a good afternoon now.
Thank you. The matter is submitted, and we'll issue our decision within 90 days.
Thank you.
We're adjourned.